पवित्र आचार्य श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय। जय ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस पति प्राचकाचार्य अस्थोतर सत श्री श्रीमान श्रील भक्ति सिद्धांत सरस्वती ठाकुर प्रभुपाद की जय। अनंति खोति वैष्णव वृंद की जय। नाम आचार्य श्रील हरिदास ठाकुर की जय। प्रेम सिखो श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदार हर शिवास आदि गौड भक्त वृंद की जय। श्री श्री राधा कृष्ण गोप गोपीनाथ श्याम खुंद राधा खुंद गिरि गोवर्धन की जय। श्री वृंदावन धाम की जय। श्री नवद्वीप मायापुर धाम की जय। श्री एक चक्र की जय। द्वारका धाम की जाए, मथुरा धाम की जाए, जगन्नाथपुरी धाम की जाए, गंगमयी की जाए, यमुनामयी की जाए, भक्ति देवी की जाए, तुलसी देवी की जाए, समवेर भक्त वृंद की जाए, गौर प्रेमानंदी। All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Shankarshanakaranato yashayi. Garbo dashayi chapayod bashayi. Sheshas chayasyam sakalasa nitya. Nandakya Rama Sharanam Mamastu. Shankarshana Karanato Yasayi. Garbo Dasayi Chabayod Basayi. Sheshascha yasyam sakalasa nitya. Nandakya Rama Sharanam Mamastu. Sankarshana karanato yashayi. Garbo dashayi chapayod basayi. Sheshascha yasyam sakalasa nitya. Nandakya Rama Sharanam Mamastu.
ladies. Shankarshan, Mahashankarshan, in the spiritual sky, Karanatoya Shai, Karunadakshayi Vishnu, who lies in the causal ocean, Garbhodashayi, Garbhodakshayi Vishnu, who lies in the Garbhodak ocean of the universe. Cha and Paya Adbishayi Kshirodakshayi Vishnu, who lies in the ocean of milk. Shesha, Shesha Naga, the couch of Vishnu. Cha and Yasya, whose Angsa, plenary portions, Kala, and parts of the plenary portions, Saha, he, Nityananda Akya, known as Lord Nityananda, Rama, Lord Balaram, Sharanam, shelter, Mama, my, Astu, let there be. May Sri Nityananda Ram be the object of my constant remembrance. Shankarshan, Sheshanaga, and the Vishnus, who lie in the Karana ocean, Garbha ocean, and ocean of milk, are his plenary portions and the portions of his plenary portions. Purport by his divine grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Sri Swarup Damodar Goswami has recorded this verse in his diary to offer his respectful obeisances to Lord Nityananda Prabhu. This verse also appears as the seventh of the first 14 verses of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. Om Agyan Timidandasya Gyananjana Chalakaya Chakshuru Nilidam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yuthapadakamalam Sri Guru Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahakana Raghunathambitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sahakana Lalita Sri Vishakan Bitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha, Gopika Kanta, Radha Kanta, Namostate, Tapta Kanchana, Gorangi, Radhe Brindabaneshwari, Vrishabhanu Sate Devi, Pranamami Hari Priye, Vansha Kalpatarubhyascha, Kripa Sindubhya Evacha, Patithanam Bhavanibhyo, Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha, Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda, Sri Advaita Gadadhar, Srivasati Gaura Bhakta Binda, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna,
Krishna Krishna,
Hare Hare,
Hare Rama,
Krishna Hari Hari, Hari Rama Hari Rama, Rama Rama Hari Hari, Hari Krishna Hari Krishna, Krishna Krishna Hari Hari, Hari Rama Hari Rama, Rama Rama Hari Hari. Celebrating today the appearance day of Sri Nityananda Prabhu. Is everyone able to hear? This verse from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita is a prayer composed by Sri Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, briefly opening the doors of our understanding into the true identity of Sri Nityananda Prabhu. Srila Narottam Das Thakur sings, Nitai Pada Kamala Koti Chandra Shushitala Ye Chayaya Jagatha Judai. The lotus feet of Lord Nityananda are like tens and millions of full moons. They relieve us. The shade of those lotus feet liberates us from the scorching heat of material existence. Henanitai binebai Radha Krishna pahinai Drida kodi daronitai pai. That only by the mercy of Lord Nityananda can one enter into the transcendental pastimes of Sri Sri Radha Krishna in the spiritual world. Nityananda Prabhu is the supreme personality of servitor Godhead. This is explained here in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita and by our acharyas. Then in the highest abode of the spiritual world of Goloka, Krishna, for all eternity, he expands himself. His original first expansion is Balaram, who is identical to himself in opulences, yet is forever the servant of Lord Krishna. In this spiritual world, Lord Balaram expands as Vrindavan Dham, the abode of Madhurya, of sweet love. He expands as Krishna's clothes, Krishna's jewelry, Krishna's sitting place, Krishna's bed, Krishna's shoes. In this world, our clothes, our shoes, they're just material, temporary things. But in the spiritual world, nothing is material. It is Chintamani Dham. It is a place where everything is pure ecstatic consciousness. There is no things. Everything is a person. Everyone is a person. The bricks, the dust in the ground, the trees, the water, everything is a pure ecstatic devotee. Expansions of Lord Balaram and expansions of Krishna for the purpose of lila or transcendental loving pastimes. There's something there. Balaram makes every arrangement for everyone to enjoy pastimes with Krishna and for Krishna to enjoy pastimes with everyone. Forever, eternally, in the mood of servant. How the absolute truth, the master of all masters, Parameshwara, eternally finds the greatest pleasure not only serving himself, but serving all devotees. The great happiness of Balaram is the pleasure of Krishna, and the great pleasure of Krishna is the pleasure of all living beings in the spiritual world. It is reciprocal, and Balaram is very much in the very heart of that reciprocation. The innermost circle of Krishna's pastimes, the Guru is Srimati Radharani. But as Narottam Das Thakur is telling us in this verse, and the Acharyas expand upon, that one can never enter into the transcendental pastimes of Radha and Krishna without the mercy of Lord Nityananda. To enter into that inner circle where Sri Radha accepts us is by the mercy of Sri Nityananda Prabhu. So Radha Rani is the ultimate guru of Vrindavan, but one cannot approach that guru without accepting Nityananda Prabhu as guru. And Sri Nityananda Prabhu expands within the true gurus of Parampara. Everyone is in, every Shiksha Guru, Diksha Guru, who is helping us in the spiritual path, is to be a representative of Lord Nityananda Prabhu. Lord Nityananda Prabhu, who is Balaram himself, expands beyond Goloka Vrindavan to be the Chaturbyuha, Shankarshan, Aniruddha, Prajumana, and Vasudev. From this Maha Shankarshan, Narayan appears. The Lord of Vaikuntha. In fact, this Lord Narayan is the Lord of limitless Vaikunthas in various expansions. from Narayan a secondary Chaturvyuha. And from Shankarshan again, the whole material creation is activated. First, Lord Balaram appears as Mahavishnu, Karuna Dakshayi Vishnu, who is the Lord of the entire cosmic creation. From his body, all the universe is manifest. By his glance, he impregnates all jivas or living entities within the universes. By his glance and by his will, he activates all the inactive elements of material existence through the three gunas, by the power of time. Within each universe, he personally comes to reside as Garbho Dakshayi Vishnu. By his own sweet will, from his navel, a lotus flower sprouts, and Lord Brahma is born. Brahma is the first being within the universe, each and every universe, and there's limitless universes. This the Vedas described. And Brahma, when he looks around, he sees only darkness. He doesn't know who he is. He doesn't know why he's there, nor what to do. Kind of like a little baby child. You've seen little infants born. They don't know who they are. They don't know what to do. They don't know why to do it. So Brahma, although he's a very advanced personality, he's in that state. In other words, kriti kriya manani gunai karmani sarvasha ahankara vimudatma karataha miti manyate. Whoever we are, we're completely dependent on the higher power of Krishna's grace. Nityo nityanam chetanas chetananam eko bahunam yogadidati kama. There is one supreme eternal, and there are many, many other eternals, limitless eternals, but these limitless eternals, the jivas, are forever dependent on the one supreme eternal. Tene Brahma Hridaya Adagabaye. Lord Vishnu gives knowledge to Brahma. But first, he wants Mahajano Yena Gatasa Panta. Brahma is a Mahajan. He wants to set the example for all of us. Brahma tries to figure out himself what's going on. He climbs down the stem of the lotus flower, trying to discover who I am and where am I? What am I supposed to do? And he sees the causal ocean, massive waves, endless. And he realizes he's insignificant. He becomes even more confused. See, that's the way material nature is. The more you try to figure it out yourself, the more confused you become. And in the height of the deepest ignorance of confusion, you think you have it figured out. That's what it means to really be confused, when you actually think you know who you are and what's going on and why you're here. That's why science, technology, all these things without a spiritual connection actually just covers us more and more and more in ignorance, and we're thinking we know everything. So Brahma, he quickly understood, I'm not going to try to figure this out myself. He climbed back up into the lotus flower, And he heard two words, tapas. To perform tapasya, to perform sadhana. And by Krishna's grace, he began his bhakti, his devotional service. And Krishna revealed the highest truths from within his heart. And personally manifested himself for Brahma. So that's Garbhodakshaya Vishnu, the guru of gurus. He's the lord of each universe. And within each universe, there are so many living beings from all different species of life. And the Lord expands himself into the heart of every living being as Chirodakshayi Vishnu. They are all expansions of Krishna. Kaviraj Goswami, in Prabhupada's purports to his writings, tells that directly they are all expansions of Balaram, who's all-powerful. And when the Lord appears in the Vaikuntha worlds, in Goloka, or in the various incarnations, Balaram comes to assist. That is what the Guru does, representative of Balaram, assists. When he comes as Vishnu, Balaram is Ananta Shesha. He's the bed of Lord Vishnu, the umbrella of Lord Vishnu. When he appears as Lord Sri Ramchandra, he comes as Lakshman, the Lord's younger brother. The service attitude of Lakshman is celebrated in the hearts of all devotees. Although he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead, his only wish is to make beautiful arrangements for Ram, and later for Sita and Ram. Ram and Lakshman were constant associates from their very births in this world. When Vishwamitra Muni came to Ayodhya and told Dasarath, "I want to take your eldest son with me to the forest to fight the most powerful, deadly asuras, rakshasas." Dasarath said, no, I cannot send my little son Ram. He's hardly a teenager. I will go, and I will leave all my armies. Vishwamitra Muni said, you and all your armies cannot compete with these rakshasas, but your little son Ram, he can do. They are all the associates of Ravana. When Dasarath heard the name Ravana, he trembled with fear. How could my little Ram fight against the relatives of Ravana? You cannot go. Vishwamitra Muni, who understood the powers of Ram, he became very angry. He said, "You gave me a promise. You would do anything I asked of you." And Vishishta Muni said, "I know of this Vishwamitra Muni, what his powers are. If you don't give him Ram, everyone's finished. Just give him Ram. He himself can overpower all these rakshasas, but because he's a Brahmin, he won't do it." So when Ram started going to the forest, Lakshman said, "I'm going with Ram." "Of course, Lakshman's never separated from me." And Sumitra, the mother of Lakshman, it was just understood, wherever Ram is, Lakshman is. And later on, and they got married together in Mithila. And when Ram was banished, Lakshman came. I'm going with you. 14 years. Such wonderful stories. Some of the devotees have gone to Nasik. You saw Kalaram Mandir. That's the place where Lakshman built a little hut for Ram and Sita to live. In Chitrakoot, he built a little hut for Ram and Sita to live. And when they would sleep, he would stay awake all night at the doorstep guarding. For 14 years, it is said, he never, for even a second, went to sleep. Such a servant. He was so attentive. Sometimes we hear that bhakti is about the details. Of course, it's also about the projects. If you don't have a project, there's no details. So he does the big things, and he does every little thing too. For Lakshman, every single moment, he was fully conscious of being attentive to service. Nothing mechanical, because bhakti is never mechanical. Bhakti is an expression of this, of the enthusiasm to please Krishna. It comes from the heart, through the mind, through the senses, through our words, our actions, and our thoughts. When Krishna appeared in Mathura, we know the story how Vasudev and Devaki were living in the prison of Kamsa. They had 6 children who were ruthlessly killed by Kamsa. And then Balaram appeared in the womb of Devaki. Why? To prepare for Krishna's arrival. To make every accommodation to make sure things are all right. Just like if an important person, like the Prime Minister, if he were going to come to Radha Gopinath Temple, before he comes, there would be so many of his most confidential, intimate people making sure everything was just right for him. It's not that he just shows up. So Balaram, before Krishna arrives, he had to make sure, he had to prepare the womb to be the best possible place for Krishna. Prepare the way. Then he was born in Gokul to make every possible, to be there for Krishna when Krishna came to Gokul. That same Balaramji has appeared as the older brother of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as Nityananda Prabhu. In every way, he served the every wish of Lord Chaitanya. What is Lord Chaitanya's mission? Parama karuna pahundui jana nitai gora chandrui. Just sang this wonderful song by Srila Lochandas Thakur. These two brothers, Parama Karuna, they have the supreme, all-inclusive compassion. Srila Rupa Goswami composed at Prayag this celebrated verse, Namo Mahabharanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namane Goda Tveshe Namaha. The Lord Chaitanya is the most merciful, the most munificent of all incarnations. He's even more munificent than Krishna himself, although he is Krishna himself. How can Krishna be more merciful than Krishna? That is the basis of Gaudiya Vedanta, Siddhanta. In Vaikuntha, the spiritual world, there is Aishwarya Bhav. Love in the great reverence of the majesty of God's supremacy. Vrindavan is Madhurya Dham. A place where all the loving exchanges are very sweet. So sweet that the inhabitants of Vrindavan do not even consider Krishna God. Krishna covers that aspect of himself. How does he cover? By manifesting such an overwhelming sweetness of his beauty, of his playfulness, of his lila, the sound of his flute, that people just love him so dearly, so intimately. The idea that he's God is so far in the back of their minds, they don't even consider it. And even if somebody tells them, Gargamuni said that this little Krishna is actually the Supreme Absolute Truth. He's Narayan. He's the cause of all causes. He's come in so many incarnations in different colors for different purposes throughout the ages. He said it. Nanda Maharaj told Yashoda, she heard it. When Yashoda Mai looked in Krishna's mouth to see if he ate dirt, and it's really interesting, Balaram told Yashoda, Krishna ate dirt. Now, what kind of servant is that? Perfect servant. Just like one time in Puri, Lord Chaitanya said to Nityananda Prabhu, you stay in Bengal. Do not come to Puri anymore. All the other devotees are coming for the Chaturmasya and Ratha Yatra every year, but you must stay in Bengal to carry out my will. The next year, Nityananda Prabhu came to Puri. Now, if you do that or I do that, we're not obeying. But Nityananda does it. It's higher than obeying. Because he understood perfectly the will and the heart of the Lord. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami praises Nityananda Prabhu that Lord Chaitanya ordered him not to come, and by his infinite sweet love, he came. Sri Radharani gets angry at Krishna. At Manmandir and Bhadrasana, she's so angry, she says, I don't want to see him. Only to increase Krishna's love and the dynamics of the sweetness of their pastimes. So Balaram, the all-knowing Balaram, he tells Yashoda Mai, little Krishna Gopal, I saw him on the banks of the Yamuna here in Gokul. He was eating dirt. Yashoda Mai is so upset. How will he maintain his health if he's eating dirt? Krishna, why did you eat dirt? Krishna says, I never ate dirt. Why would I eat dirt? you're giving me so many butters and yogurts and so many wonderful foods. Why would I eat dirt? Balaram's, but I saw he ate dirt. Balaram is always on your side. He's with you for everything. Why would he tell a lie? Krishna said, he's lying. I never ate dirt. If you don't believe me, look in my mouth. She said, open your mouth. The reality is Balaram was correct. He did eat dirt. And Krishna was correct when he said he didn't eat dirt. But his correctness is based on rasa. It's not based on facts. Sometimes we become so obsessed with facts that we forget the spirit of the purpose of life. We're just filled with facts. The whole purpose of philosophy is to awaken our love for Krishna. The whole purpose of understanding these scriptural philosophical truths is to become more humble than a blade of grass. But our tendency is the more we learn, the more we become proud. How much I know. How much better I am than others. That means you don't understand the spirit and the purpose of what you're learning. So Balaram understands. Krishna wants to have a wonderful Leela with his mother. So he's there orchestrating it all. He ate dirt. And Krishna wants to give his mother something so special. And the whole world for all time to come. So he said, I didn't eat dirt. So to increase his mother's love, he spoke the highest truth. But for those who are just analyzing logistical material facts, you'll be bewildered by this pastime. The absolute truth is telling a lie. But that lie is higher than the absolute truth. Does that make sense? Don't pretend it does. It's inconceivable. And therefore, all of our acharyas are continuously telling us you cannot understand without Sri Radharani, Sri Nityananda Prabhu, and our Guru's grace. Without the grace of great Vaishnavas, we cannot understand these things. Because the understanding only comes when Krishna reveals. And that's by his sweet will. So Yashoda looked in the mouth and she didn't just see dirt. She saw the entire universe. Oceans, mountains, planets, demigods, all living beings. She looked closer and saw herself looking in Krishna's mouth. She was... Who is Gopal? And she was thinking, maybe what Garga Muni said was correct. No, impossible. How could Garga Muni be Garga Muni? He said that Krishna is as good as Narayan. But when there's thunder and lightning... Krishna cries and he runs to me and he cries and cries and cries. He's trembling in fear until I embrace him and I kiss him and give him my milk. And then he smiles. And Krishna goes and he steals and he lies. That's not Narayan. Garga Muni, he's a great Brahmin and a great Pandit and all these things. He can say whatever he wants. But I know who Krishna is, and Krishna knows who I am. He's my son, and I'm his mother. That's all. That's Yashoda Mai. So Balaram in every way is making beautiful arrangements. He understood the heart of Lord Chaitanya. And he came to facilitate it in every way. How do we know about Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? The first biography of Lord Chaitanya is Sri Chaitanya Bhagavat by Vrindavan Das Thakur. Who is Vrindavan Das Thakur? He was a direct personal disciple of Nityananda Prabhu. In fact, it is said he was his last disciple. Lord Nityananda Prabhu revealed to Vrindavan Das Thakur all the inner truths of Lord Chaitanya. Lord Nityananda Prabhu instructed Vrindavan Das Thakur to write this biography of Lord Chaitanya. And along with the instructions, he gave him direct perception and vision of the wonderful pastimes of Lord Chaitanya. In fact, by Nityananda Prabhu's grace, Vrindavan Das Thakur was the Vyas of Lord Chaitanya's pastimes. Srila Veda Vyas manifested as Vrindavan Das Thakur. Vyasadeva, the culmination of all the Vedic literatures, was the Srimad Bhagavat. And he appeared again to be the author of the Chaitanya Mangala that was later named the Chaitanya Bhagavat. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, we find in his own explanation of how he wrote Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, he was living in a little village in Bengal, and one of Nityananda Prabhu's dearmost associates, Miniketana Ramdas, came to that village. He was a cowherd boy in Krishna's Leela. Many of Nityananda Prabhu's close associates had descended from Goloka. Their original identities were the cowherd boy friends of Krishna and Balaram. Maniketana Ramdas would dance and he would sing, and sometimes people would bow down to him and he would jump on their back and slap them with his flute. Usually great sages don't do that. Usually great sages go, "Om, you are blessed. Come and hear me speak the Srimad Bhagavata." Maniketana Ramdas, he would speak constantly the glories of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda, constantly chanting the glories of Radharani and Krishna and Vrindavan and Balaramji's pastimes. People were very much attracted. But he was very childlike. And Kaviraj Goswami's brother had a priest, and he was thinking, "Who is this Miniketana Ramdas?" He was very disrespectful to him. And Miniketana Ramdas left. So Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami had a debate with his brother. His brother had faith in Lord Chaitanya, but not Nityananda. And Kaviraj Goswami said, "To have faith in Lord Chaitanya and not Nityananda is the philosophy of a half of a hen." This is a very interesting philosophy, because devotees don't do these things. But the principle is there, that a hen lays eggs with one side and eats with the other. So a foolish farmer thinks, "I'm making money from the backside,
But the front side is a liability. So I'll cut the hen in half, and I'll keep the back side and throw the front side away. Yes? The hen is killed. So similarly, thinking that you, having great faith and love in Lord Chaitanya without Lord Nityananda is like that. So Kaviraj Goswami defended Nityananda Prabhu, his faith. And then he went to sleep. And Nityananda Prabhu appeared to him in a beautiful form of a cowherd boy. A most glorious darshan. And he was smiling. He looked intoxicated with prema bhakti. He was swaying back and forth. And he told Kaviraj Goswami, go to Vrindavan and you shall attain all things. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, as soon as he woke up, he left home for Vrindavan. He was already very old. He didn't go by buying a train ticket or a plane ticket. He walked. He didn't bring anything with him. He didn't even tell anyone in his family he was leaving. He just left. By the mercy of Lord Nityananda, and he's continuously telling us, it's by the mercy of Lord Nityananda that I have come here. He lived at Radha Kund, and every day he would hear the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya from Raghunath Das Goswami. Raghunath Das Goswami was the personal assistant of the personal secretary of Lord Chaitanya for many, many years. How did Raghunath Das Goswami get that position? By the mercy of Nityananda Prabhu. Every day, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami would sit for the Mahaprabhu Katha of Raghunath Das Goswami on the banks of Radha Kund for about 3 hours every day. For years, Raghunath Das Goswami would speak Lord Chaitanya's pastimes because he had access to Swarup Damodar Goswami's personal notes. He had access to the notes of Murari Gupta. We know the pastimes of Raghunath. He was born from very wealthy, influential father and uncle, Govardhan and Hiranya. They were like billionaires. And of the two brothers, he was the only child. So he was the heir to everything. Everything the Hiranya and Govardhan did in their life was actually to build up things to give to their son. But the son, he happened to one time go with Balaramacharya Yanu to meet Haridas Thakur in he was living in Krishnapur. And just by being in the association of Thakur Haridas, he became so attracted to the life of renunciation. Renunciation is total absorption in Krishna. Haridas Thakur was the most blissful, enlightened, wealthiest person that Raghunath ever met. His father, uncle were billionaires with wonderful estates, so many servants, so much power, so much influence. Haridas was living in caves, just wore a loincloth. Everywhere he went, he was being persecuted and hated and misunderstood, and people were trying to kill him. But Haridas had a taste for the chanting of the holy names. He had love for Krishna. Raghunath understood, that's wealth. That's what I want. Haridas Thakur had nothing except a taste for the holy name and ecstatic compassion for everyone. So Raghunath, in so many ways, he tried to escape from home. But every time he was captured by the affection of his parents. At a certain point, there was like 12 guards around him 24 hours a day. But somehow or other, he got permission to go with all of his guards to Panihati because Nityananda Prabhu was there. And Raghunath Das Goswami at Panihati, he offered obeisances to Nityananda Prabhu from a distance because he was feeling very humble. He wasn't just going up and touching Nityananda Prabhu's feet and say, I'm here, bless me. You don't get blessings that way. Someone may, with their cellular phones, take a photo of it or a video of it and you can show it to people, but you don't get blessings that way. You get blessings when you please someone. And Raghunath, you please someone by your humble service. He showed how to get blessings. He offered his dandavat pranams from a distant place, and somebody said to Lord Nityananda, there's Raghunath offering obeisances. Nityananda Prabhu called out to Raghunath, you are like a thief keeping a distance. Come here. And Lord Nityananda put his feet on, lotus foot on Raghunath's head, and said, because you are a thief keeping a distant place like this, I want to punish you. The punishment will be that you should feed all these devotees and everyone else with chitta dahi, chipped rice and yogurt. Raghunath Das Goswami was so happy. He made a beautiful feast and more and more people came. They were filling the Ganges. They were filling the banks of the Ganga. And he bought all the chitta and all the dahi and condensed milk and fruits and everything. And everyone was happy. Servant of the servant. And the next day, that day, Lord Nityananda was so pleased to see all the devotees eating this simplest prasad. You know, he's a billionaire son. Lord Nityananda could have said, I want gulab jamuns and samosas. Bengal, you should give ras malai and ras gulas. Chitta. Chitta is the cheapest thing. It's beggar's food. Chipped rice. But Raghunath was so happy. Whatever the Lord desired. And Nityananda Prabhu personally in his heart and mind called Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to personally appear there. And Lord Chaitanya, only Nityananda Prabhu and a few others could see him. He and Nityananda Prabhu were going to each devotee and taking some chitta dahi from them and eating it. And they danced. Lord Raghunath Das Goswami got to see the beautiful kirtan of Nityananda Prabhu that night. And Raghunath Das Goswami was given the direct Maha Maha Prasad from the plates of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda. By Nityananda's mercy. And the next day, Raghava Pandit came and said that Nityananda, that Raghunath Das Goswami has a prayer. He wants to be relieved from all the implications, complications, and attachments of his material surroundings, and he wants to dedicate his life completely to the loving service of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and the association of devotees. Some of us take association of devotees for granted. Raghunath Das Goswami was willing to give up so much and so much risk to be in the association of devotees. Nityananda Prabhu said to Raghunath Das, because you made this wonderful festival of Chiradahi, and everyone was so happy. All the devotees were so happy. Lord Chaitanya personally came here and accepted your offering. Then Nityananda Prabhu asked all the devotees to bless Raghunath Das Goswami. Raghunath Das went to every devotee, humbly bowing down, offering all respects at their feet. And they all spontaneously, from their hearts, showered their blessings upon him. Then Nityananda Prabhu said, because you have received the blessings of the Lord and the devotees, very soon you will be liberated from all your material entanglements. You will become the personal assistant of Swarup Damodar Goswami, the personal secretary of Lord Chaitanya. It was by Nityananda Prabhu's mercy that Raghunath Das Goswami had that most intimate loving service to the Lord. He became our Prayojana Acharya. Prayojana is the highest perfection of ecstatic love. Sambandha Abhideya Prayojana. To establish our relationship with Krishna. To render loving service to Krishna with deep attachment. And the culmination is when the ecstasy of the love of the heart is awakened. In the mood of the gopis, Sri Raghunath Das Goswami was revealing the most intimate secrets of being the servant of Sri Radharani in her loving service to Krishna. But as Narottam Das Thakur teaches us, he approached the circle of Sri Radharani's intimate associates only because he received the mercy of Nityananda Prabhu. It is from Raghunath Das Goswami that Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami received the transcendental flow of the nectarine pastimes of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda. At the end of each verse, Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami offers obeisances to Raghunath Das Goswami and Rupa Goswami. Of the three acharyas, the Sambandha Acharya, Abhideya Acharya, and Prayojana Acharya, they all were depending on the mercy of Nityananda Prabhu. When Dabir Khas and Sakar Malik, when they came, they wrote many letters to Lord Chaitanya because they were also multi-billionaires. They were prime minister, home minister of the king of Bengal. In Ramkeli, they had beautiful palaces.
but they wanted to escape, but they didn't know how to do it. So many letters. Lord Chaitanya never answered their letters, which gives me solace. Finally, he just wrote one cryptic little line that if a lady loves some other man but her husband, she serves her husband very nicely, but thinks of her lover. What does that have to do with becoming a Goswami? But they understood. That means we have to do our duties to the king very nicely, but always think of Krishna. And when Lord Chaitanya finally came to Ramkeli, he had wonderful kirtan. And late at night, when he was sitting under a tamal tree and a kadamba tree, incognito, Devirkas, Sakar Malik, and their brother Anupam, they came to meet him. And who did they first meet? Nityananda Prabhu. And Haridas Thakur. Because Nityananda Prabhu and Haridas Thakur, their relationship with each other was the ultimate manifestation of compassion and mercy. And Nityananda Prabhu blessed Devirkas, Sakar Malik, and Anupam, blessed them and brought them in to have darshan of Lord Chaitanya. And with all humility, they surrender to Lord Chaitanya. We're the most fallen. Please give us your mercy. You are Patita Pavana. We have no other hope than you. Lord Chaitanya told Rupa and Sanatan, please stand up. Your humility is breaking my heart. This is a very deep concept. What is Lord Chaitanya's heart? Radha Krishna Pranaya Vikratir Ladini Shakti Rasmat Radha Bhava Dyuti Subalitam Nomi Krishna Swarupam. Lord Chaitanya is Krishna with the Mahabhav, the ecstatic love of Sri Radha in his heart. Krishna wants to taste Sri Radha's love. The treasure of Lord Chaitanya's heart is Radha's love for Krishna. It was the humility of Rupa and Sanatan. Lord Chaitanya said, it's breaking my heart. That means, just like the Panchatattva, they broke open the storehouse of love of Godhead and distribute the contents. Humility breaks open the heart of the Lord, and then he distributes the content of his heart, ecstatic love. There's no way else to get it. And it was by the mercy of Lord Nityananda Prabhu that they had that chance. By the mercy of Krishna, one gets Guru. By the mercy of Guru, one gets Krishna. By the mercy of Lord, Vrindavan Das Thakur says, you can only understand Nityananda's mercy by the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. And you can only approach Lord Chaitanya's mercy by the mercy of Nityananda Prabhu. So, Rupa and Sanatan, or Devirkas, Sakar Malik, were given the names Rupa and Sanatan Goswami. They were initiated that very night. And Lord Chaitanya instructed them to go to Vrindavan. So throughout our great Gaudiya Vaishnava literatures, we find the root is Nityananda Prabhu's mercy. Narottam Das Thakur was the acharya of the next generation after Rupa and Sanatan and Raghunath Das. Sambandha, Abhideya, Prayojana, all three, they were recipients of the mercy of Lord Nityananda. And Thakur Narottam, when Lord Chaitanya was in Ramkeli at that time, he was crying out, looking toward the Padma River, Narottam, Narottam, Narottam. Devotees were asking, what does that mean? He was crying in ecstasy. Somebody was going to be born named Narottam in Khetri Gram. And Lord Chaitanya told Nityananda Prabhu that I'm going to place my prey, my ecstatic love in the river Padma. And you, at the appropriate time, you should bring Narottam to the river to receive my love. It was Narottam. He had the dream. He was crying for Lord Chaitanya's mercy, crying for Lord Chaitanya's service. He was also son of a very wealthy king, Krishnananda Dutt. He had a wonderful vision where Nityananda Prabhu appeared to him and told him, early in the morning, go to the Padma River. Take your bath there. Nityananda Prabhu brought him. When he entered the Padma River flooded up and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in a divine form appeared from the river and embraced him and filled him with his love. In fact, Narottam, from that point, he had a golden complexion, Lord Chaitanya's complexion. This beautiful song of Narottam Das Thakur, what is the realization of his appreciation of Nityananda Prabhu? We read in the pastimes of Thakur Narottam, he was a gopi, a personal assistant of the Sakis. He gives all the credit for that blessing. Entering into this, being the servant of the servant of Sri Radharani to Nityananda Prabhu, who led him to his guru, Lokanath Goswami. Lokanath Goswami was a very, very dear friend of Nityananda Prabhu. Anantashesha has 1,000 mouths, and those mouths, he doesn't sleep. I've never heard about Anantashesha eating either. And even if he does, he can eat and talk at the same time. For all eternity, Anantashesha, with every one of his mouths, is discussing the names and glories of the Lord. And Vrindavan Das Thakur, he tells, even if Anantashesha with his 1,000 mouths for a whole lifetime of Brahma were non-stop speaking the glories of Lord Chaitanya, he could not fully explain what Lord Chaitanya does in one day. We can't understand that. It's inconceivable. But we find Krishna could put the whole universe in his little tiny mouth, which is only this big. He could put all the Himalayan mountains and the Sayadri mountains and the Rocky Mountains and the Alps mountains and the Pacific Ocean, Atlantic Ocean, Indian Ocean, Arabian Sea, everything. All living beings in his mouth this big. That's Krishna. If he can't do that, then he's not God. Then he's not God. If you can't do it, you're not God. And you never will be. And you never were. But Lord Chaitanya, this is his power. So if he wants to do limitless pastimes in one moment, he can do. Lord Chaitanya told Rupa Goswami that the pastimes of Krishna, the qualities of Krishna, the beauty of Krishna, the love of Krishna, is like an ocean that has no bottom and no shores. A limitless ocean. He said, the most I can do is explain one drop. But that single drop has the capacity of completely flooding the entire universe with ecstatic love. That is Krishna. So Nityananda Prabhu, he appeared today. Or let us say, he appears today. And I guess I should start the class now. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami tells that in preparation for his coming to the world, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sent many of his eternal associates from the spiritual world to prepare for his arrival. And especially sent them to places that were considered impious. Because in Bengal in those days, in India, it's considered auspicious to be born or to live near a holy river. Ganga, Yamuna, Godavari, Kaveri, Sindhu, Narmada. Almost every holy place is near a holy river. But Lord Chaitanya sent many of his associates to places that were considered very impious, like Ekachakra in Radha Desh. In the Bhakti Ratnakar by Narahari Chakravarti, he tells wonderful historical incident of when Nityananda Prabhu's beloved consort, Janava Devi, for the first time visited Ekachakra. Nityananda Prabhu had already disappeared from the world. Janava Devi was invited by Srinivasacharya, Narottam Das Thakur, and Shamananda Thakur to Khetri, a little village in what is today Bangladesh, for the first Gaur Purnima, the first celebration of Lord Chaitanya's appearance among devotees. Since Lord Nityananda Prabhu had already disappeared from the world, Lord Chaitanya, Swarup Damodar Goswami, Ramananda Rai, they had already departed. It was Narottam, Shamananda, Srinivas, and they were inviting whatever associates of Lord Chaitanya were still with us and the special guest of honor, the senior most acharya of our whole sampradaya, was Nityananda Prabhu's Shakti, his consort, Janava Devi. When she received this Nityananda Prabhu actually appeared to Janava Devi in a loving vision and expressed his desire that she go for this ceremony. Then she got an invitation. And in those days, invitations weren't like an email or a printout or what's up. Every invitation, Narottam Das Thakur, Srinivasacharya, Shamananda, they had personally in beautiful handwriting, a personal letter to that person. And it was hand-delivered by a great devotee. These devotees had to walk for miles and miles and days to find you. And then, this is handwritten by Narottam Das Thakur, Shamananda, and Srinivasacharya. It's an invitation. And it was, and not only the handwritten invitation, personally to that person, each one different than all others, but also so many gifts were offered. So Janava Devi, as she was going, so many of her associates and other devotees were coming. Nityananda Prabhu's mercy. Narottam Das Thakur, the night of Gaur Purnima, he was leading a kirtan, and Janava Devi was so pleased with his kirtan, she glanced upon. For a long time, she glanced and gazed upon Narottam Das Thakur. This is Nityananda Prabhu's Shakti. It entered Narottam Das Thakur's heart in such a way that as he was chanting, everyone was crying in separation from Lord Chaitanya and his associates. And in the midst of the kirtan, everyone was crying so much in this viraha bhava for the panchatattva and the devotees that the panchatattva appeared along with all the other devotees who had disappeared from the world, ecstatically chanting and dancing with the devotees who were here in the world. There was no happiness higher than that. But something happened that was even happier. They disappeared. And now everyone was rolling in the ground, crying in grief. But that grief was even a higher happiness when they were there, because they came to prepare them for love and separation when they left. Now when Janava saw everyone was beside themselves, we have just been with the Lord, with Nityananda Prabhu, with Advaita, with Srivas, with Swarup Damodar, with Rupa Goswami and Sanatan Goswami. They had already left too. It was, could you imagine? When we're doing kirtan, Srila Prabhupada just appears dancing with us, weeping in ecstasy of love for us, and Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur and Gorkishoras Babaji and Bhakti Vinod Thakur. Can you imagine if our kirtan, they actually appear physically? And they're dancing and they're crying and they're glancing on us, and each and every one of us is thinking, they're all only looking at me. And then Rupa Goswami and Sanatan Goswami, Raghunath Das Goswami, Gopal Bhatta Goswami, Jiva Goswami, Raghunath Bhatta Goswami, and Ramananda Rai and Swarup Damodar and Lord Nityananda and Lord Chaitanya and all of their associates. They're dancing with us all together. Then they disappear. And we know we'll never see them again in this life.
But we're weeping, we're crying for them. That's what Vapu. Vapu is meant to increase the love and separation that's inevitable. And in that love and separation, the deepest connection is made. So they were rolling on the ground, weeping. But Janavadevi, Lord Nityananda's mercy, she understood everything's at a stop. So she called Srinivasacharya and said, now we should start the holy festival. And then everybody became enthusiastic again. So it was Nityananda Shakti that was the very basis of that whole festival. Janavadevi, after she went to Vrindavan, wonderful pastimes in Vrindavan. At one time she was at Radha Gopinath temple. And Gopinath was very beautiful, and Sri Radharani was very beautiful but very tiny in size. Janavadevi was thinking, Radharani's very small compared to Krishna. But then she thought, who am I to judge how big Radharani wants to be? So she didn't say anything. That was during Arti. Then she took rest that night, and Srimati Radharani appeared to her and said, actually, I'm too small. You should go back to Bengal and make a deity of me that is more harmonious with the size that Krishna is. And then Gopinath appeared and said, everything Sri Radharani says is what I want you to do. So then she decided to go back to Bengal, because Vrindavan was a forest in those days. If you wanted deity, you had to go to Bengal to get the deity unless it was self-manifested. Things change. Now everyone goes to Vrindavan to get deities made. It's still a forest, but you have to have the eyes to see it. As she was walking through Bengal, she decided to go to Ekachakra. And many of her most confidential associates were with her. When they came to the outskirts, they were feeling incredible happiness. Then they saw a very old Brahmin who was walking with a stick. Janavadevi and her associates, they sat under a big banyan tree and just watched this old Brahmin. He was looking around. He was crying. He was the only person around. He walked right up to them and he sat down. His eyes were looking here and there and seeing everybody. But he didn't say anything. And they asked him, they said, please tell us, you know, who you are, and we've come to Ekachakra. It seems like everything is in ruins. Why is this? And the Brahmin began his story. He said, long ago, the Pandavas lived here in Ekachakra. The story is there in Mahabharata. It is there that Bhima killed Bakasura. And from that time, Ekachakra has been a very holy place. as time passed, it was a community where there was great wealth, where everyone had deep, genuine devotion. And there were scholars, pundits, who studied so many different scriptures right here in Eka Chakra. Among them, there was a great astrologer who was known for having the power to see into the future. According to Vedic calculations, and this astrologer, he prophesied that here in Eka Chakra, very soon, the Supreme Lord of all beings is going to take birth. Balaram is going to appear here in Eka Chakra. He's going to perform his pastimes here. He's going to bless the entire world, the entire universe from here. The astrologer said, but I am so unfortunate, I will not live long enough to see it. All the other pundits and scholars, they all discussed with him, analyzed the scriptures, analyzed the astrological calculations, and they all agreed, yes, what he is saying has to come true. This was the talk of Eka Chakra for years. There was one great scholar who was a Brahmin named Oja. He, along with his wife, after long penance and prayers and difficulties, they had a son. They named him Hodai. He was such a wonderful, gentle, devoted man. He was married to a lady who was of equal devotion and pure love. Her name, Padmavati. Just after the marriage, Oja and his wife passed away. Hodai Pandit and Padmavati, they became the leaders of the whole Eka Chakra. Not by their power or their administration, by their love for Krishna, by their compassion for everyone. It was on the 13th day of the waxing moon of the month of Magh that Padmavati and Hodai Pandit gave birth to Sri Nityananda Prabhu. As soon as he was born, everything became auspicious. Before that, there was a drought, and there were so many calamities, natural calamities. The second he was born, it was rains. Flowers were blooming. Crops were blossoming. There was happiness everywhere. And this little child, he was so beautiful. The people of Eka Chakra were wondering, it appears that his golden complexion is as soft as fresh butter. His lotus-like eyes, his beautiful little smile. Little babies don't even have teeth at that time. He was so beautiful. Everyone in Ekachakra just wanted to look at the little boy. At the name-giving ceremony, someone gave him the name Nityananda. Others gave him the name Ram. Some called him Nityananda Ram. For short, they called him Nitai. Nitai. Padmavati held him on her lap. She couldn't let him go even for a second. Everyone in Ekachakra wanted to hold little Nitai on their lap. They loved him. Why? Because he loved them. Because he loved them so dearly. They could feel his love even coming from this little infinite child. Causeless mercy. He was bestowing such ecstatic affection in the hearts of everyone. And he reciprocated with their love by revealing limitless beauty. Not just the beauty that attracts the eyes, a beauty that attracts the innermost love of the soul. He grew up a little. When he was just a small child, this old man is saying to Janava and her devotees, "One day I was in terrible distress, and all I could think of is I want to see little Nitai, who was just a very small little baby at the time. I just want to see Nitai." And he ran to Hadai Pandit and Padmavati's house, and there was little Nitai. He was just learning to walk. And he came up to the man, and he picked him up, and Nitai climbed on his lap. He said, "I embraced the child." He was like a puppet of, he was a golden puppet of butter. But usually butter melts, but it was the opposite. When he touched this puppet of butter, his heart melted. All my distress was gone forever. I was feeling ecstatic bliss. He said, that is the effect that Nitai had on everyone. When he became about 5 years old, Hadai Pandit and Padmavati, they could not live unless he was in their sight. So they're doing everything for him. But he was always in the house. And one day Padmavati said to little Nitai, "How would you like to play today?" And Nitai said, "I would like friends." So from that day on, all the little friends started coming to Hadai Pandit Padmavati's house. Nityananda Prabhu, he was the leader. He would play throughout the day and sometimes throughout the night with his friends. And the play was always enacting the pastimes of Krishna. He would teach all of his little children. And he would do it in such a way that they were actually reliving the pastimes of Krishna. They would plan it out. They would do everything to the minutest detail to make the experience perfect. One little boy was dressed up as Mother Earth. And she dressed up as a cow and came to another little boy dressed up as Brahma and explained how I'm suffering so much because so many demoniac people are trampling upon me and exploiting me and exploiting my children.
And then they all the little children went to a little ocean of milk that they made. And they all started doing Purusha Shukta prayers under Nityananda Prabhu's. He was the screenplay writer. He was the director. He was the producer. He was the main actor. And he empowered everybody. And then one boy who was hiding so nobody could see him said, "I will appear in Mathura. All demigods, you should all take birth in the Yadu dynasty." Then they had this whole enactment of Devaki and Vasudev, their marriage ceremony, and the voice, again, somebody who was hiding behind a tree, said, "Kamsa, you fool, the eighth son of, the eighth child of Devaki, your sister will kill you." And then another little boy who was Kamsa, he drew a little sword. It wasn't an actual sword. And they were so perfect in what they did. They all went out of their homes and met at midnight. They had constructed a prison cell. This is all in the fields of Eka Chakra. And they reenacted the birth of Krishna. One little boy, he had four arms. And told Vasudev and Devaki, "Bring me to Gokul." Then another little boy became Vasudev and went across, because there was a river there in Eka Chakra. They had the Nandotsav. Incredible, wonderful festival. They were throwing butter on each other and throwing, you know, and singing and dancing. Literally celebrating the birth of Krishna, these little children. One boy was dressed up as Putana. And usually Nityananda Prabhu, he took the role of Krishna in most of the pastimes. And then another day, they made out of reeds, just little stems, bamboo stems, they made a little cart, and then Nityananda Prabhu laid under the cart and kicked it. And then a little boy came out of the cart as Sakatasura. Then they reenacted the pastime of Trinavarta. And to make things realistic, Nityananda Prabhu and the little and his friends, they would secretly go into the houses of people who had cows and steal their butter and steal their yogurt and feed it to monkeys. Damodar Leela, he would dress one of his friends up as Yashoda Mai, and she would bind Nityananda Prabhu around the waist. They performed the Leela of Kaliya. They got all sorts of leaves and branches, and they made a Kaliya and put the Kaliya in a little lake. The lake that Padmavati used to bathe in and bathe Nityananda Prabhu in. And at that time, some of the boys drank the water from the lake and then they collapsed. Stopped breathing. They appeared to be dead. That little Nitai, 5 years old, he glanced upon them and they all came back, and then he jumped up on Kali and started dancing and everybody was celebrating. They performed the Leela of Agasura, Bakasura, Vatsasura, Aristasura. little Nityananda Prabhu in the role of Giridhari lifted the Govardhan Hill and they performed the whole pastime. All the other little children were under the hill making offerings to Giriraj. Sometimes the adults would come to watch. They were struck with wonder. They asked little Nitai, "How do you know all these pastimes?" Because the words the little boys used and the actions were exactly according to Srimad Bhagavatam. Nitai never heard these things like that. He didn't hear all these stories. They did every pastime of Krishna that's in the Srimad Bhagavatam. They asked Nitai, "How do you know all these pastimes?" And Nitai just smiled. He said, "These are my pastimes." But they couldn't understand. He was telling the truth. Vrindavan Das Thakur tells one boy dressed up as Narada Muni. And he went to another boy who was Kamsa and said, "Actually, the boy that the child that is destined to kill you is Krishna, and he's living in Vrindavan." So then Kamsa sent Akrura, and little boy dressed up as Akrura. As he was taking Krishna and Balaram out of Vrindavan, Nityananda Prabhu played the role of a gopi. Seeing Krishna Balaram being taken out of Vrindavan, Nityananda, he cried incessantly. Rivers of tears were pouring from his eyes. He fell on the ground practically unconscious. He couldn't be consoled. The adults were watching this. How is he filled with such emotion? And all the other children being influenced by him, taking the role of gopis, they were all weeping and weeping and crying, not acting. It was a reality of their hearts. They were living the pastime. Nityananda Prabhu, he played the Leela of killing Janurat and Mustika. He had a little boy dressed up as Kubja, the hunchback woman. He liberated the flower seller. Sudama. And he also liberated the washerman in Mathura. Then he had one boy, Kuvalayapida, elephant. Then they all went into the wrestling arena and there was Chanur and Mushtika and they wrestled together, and then Nityananda jumped up and grabbed Kamsa and punched him. Of course he didn't hurt the boy. And after Kamsa was dead, all the boys were dancing and dancing and crying in ecstasy, chanting the holy name.
Krishna! Krishna! Krishna!
They played many different avatars. Nitai became Vamana Avatar, and another boy was Bali Maharaj. He had little boys playing Prahlad and Narasingha Dev and Hiranyakashipu. They enacted the whole pastime. Ram Leela. So many stories of Ram Leela they enacted. And one in particular, Vrindavan Das Thakur has focused on. when Nityananda was playing Lakshman. His original identity, Balaram Lakshman. And he killed Indrajit at Evo. And then he challenged Ravana. And one little boy, he said, Lakshman, today you will see the kingdom of Yamaraj. I have my Shakti Shila and I will pierce your heart. Then he took a little lotus flower, tiny little lotus flower, and threw it at Nityananda. Nityananda Prabhu fell to the ground lifeless. The little boys were really confused. He appeared to be dead. Hadai Pandit came running to the scene. Padmavati came running to the scene. All the other parents of the children came running to the scene. They didn't know what to do. Nitai was, there was no breath. There was no pulse. There was no heartbeat. He was just laying there. What did you do? He said, I just threw a lotus flower at him. They were crying. And then one of the parents, he said, Nitai is always doing these kinds of leelas. And did he give any message to you of what he should do if this happens? And then the little boys who were totally in grief, they were crying at the loss of their life, their soul, their everything. They started talking among each other, and one boy said, yes, yes, yes. Before we started this pastime, Nitai said, if I fall down and lose my consciousness, then you have to get an herb from the Gandhamadana mountain to save my life. So then the boy who played Hanuman, so realistically he forgot his powers until he was reminded. A little boy who was Jambavan said, Hanuman, you can do it. Go get them. So Hanuman started running, and this is all set by Nityananda Prabhu's script writing. He ran. They're 5 years old. He ran, and as he's running to the Gandhamadana mountain, there was a pond there, and there was one Rakshasa who happened to be Ravana's uncle, who was disguised as a sadhu. And he said, Hanuman, please, you know, you're very tired. Take a bath in this lake so you can be refreshed and then continue your journey. And Hanuman said, no, no, I don't have time. And he said, but I'm a Brahmin. Just bathe in this lake, you know, do it for me. So Hanuman quickly went in the lake, and another little boy took the form of a crocodile and started trying to eat Hanuman. And the two boys were fighting, Hanuman boy and crocodile boy. And Hanuman defeated him. And then another big Rakshasa came and attacked Hanuman. And Hanuman was fighting all these different challenges. And finally he got to the Gandhamadana mountain and he couldn't find the herb. So he lifted up the whole mountain. And little Hanuman brought the mountain. Another Nitai's friends, who was the doctor, Shushena, he came to the mountain and got a little herb from it and put it at Nitai's nose. And Nitai opened his eyes. He stood up and everyone was crying with joy. In this way, Nitai spent his pastimes, his childhood, performing these beautiful pastimes with his friends. When he was about 12, the love of his friends, the love of his parents, the love of everyone in Ekachakra was growing by the moment for him. Interestingly,
according to the leelas that they were playing, even when they were 5 years old, sometimes they would be at midnight, sometimes they would be all night, sometimes they would be all day and all night. And never once did any of the parents of the children try to restrain their child from being with Nityananda. They just loved Nityananda so much. Their greatest happiness was seeing their children performing these leelas in the association of Nitai. Adai Pandit couldn't go anywhere without Nitai. He would take him shopping with him. He would take him to the fields to do the agriculture with him. He was personally teaching him so many scriptures and so many lessons of philosophy. Padmavati and Hadai Pandit, they could not tolerate a moment without Nitai. In fact, it's explained that for Padmavati, a minute not seeing Nitai seemed like a yuga, an entire age. That was the nature of their loving attachment. So Nitai understood that soon Lord Chaitanya, in fact, the day Lord Chaitanya appeared in Navadvip, Nitai understood exactly what happened. And in transcendental ecstasy, he was waiting for 12 years for this to happen. Lord Chaitanya was born to Sachi Devi and Jagannath Mishra in ecstatic love, celebrating the birth of the Lord. Little Nityananda was in Ekachakra. He roared. That roar literally shook the entire universe. How can I leave my parents to participate in Lord Chaitanya's pastime of spreading Harinam Sankirtan throughout India and the world? How is it possible that I could leave my parents? Just the blinking of their eyes is unbearable to them when they can't see me for that duration. By Nityananda Prabhu's divine will, one day a sannyasi, a beautiful sannyasi, came to Ekachakra. He was invited by Hadai Pandit into his house. Hadai Pandit and Padmavati received him, gave him nice prasad, and Hadai Pandit and that sannyasi spoke about Krishna all night long. They were intoxicated with love for Krishna. At the end of the night, when the sun was rising, Hadai Pandit said to that sannyasi, "Is there any way I can serve you? Anything?" The sannyasi inquired, "Anything?" Hadai Pandit said, "Whatever I have is yours." He said, "I'm on a pilgrimage to all the different holy places throughout Bharatvarsha, the land of India. And I'm all alone. I really require a nice Brahmin assistant. Please give me your eldest son, Nitai." It was a thunderbolt to the heart of Hadai Pandit. He was practically blinded by those words. He was speechless. He was thinking in his heart, if I give Nitai, I give my life. He's only 12 years old. To be traveling Because in those days, please understand, there's no telephones or internets or any way to keep any communication. He's gone forever. I can't live without him. This is worse than death. I can't give. But I can't not give. And being a great devotee of the Lord, Adai Pandit, Mahajano Yena Gatasa Panta, he tried to analyze how to resolve the situation by following in the footsteps of great souls. And he thought of Maharaj Dasarath. When Vishwamitra Muni came to Ayodhya and asked for Ram, who was approximately the same age, asked for Ram to go with him into the forest, although it was worse than death to Dasarath, it's even worse than death to displease a great devotee. He said, similarly, even if it costs me my life, I cannot displease the sannyasi. I will follow Dasarath Maharaj's footprints. He went to Padmavati and asked, what do you think I should do? Padmavati said, whatever is your desire is what I wish also. Adai Pandit brought little Nitai and presented him to the sannyasi. Nitai looked completely aloof, transcendental, eager to go. The sannyasi gave Padmavati and Adai Pandit a deity of Krishna named Muralidhar. And he left. As soon as he was out of sight, along with Nitai, Adai Pandit collapsed unconscious. And Padmavati fell and laid on the ground like a dead corpse. The news spread throughout Ekachakra. Nityananda Ram is gone. He's gone on a pilgrimage with the sannyasi. They all came running to Adai Pandit Padmavati's house. They saw the two of them laying unconscious. They were fanning them and singing the names of Krishna to them. Somehow or other, they came back to consciousness. Padmavati and Adai Pandit, all they could do is weep and cry, constantly calling out the names of Lord Nityananda. The people of Ekachakra had the same experience. Everyone was crying. Everyone was falling unconscious. We must find that sannyasi. We must bring Nityananda back. The people of Ekachaka were running in every direction trying to find the sannyasi, and they were calling out from their heart of hearts, please, please, take my son and give Nityananda back. One was calling out to the sannyasi as loud as he could. The sannyasi was nowhere to be seen. He was saying, Nityananda doesn't even know how to cook. My son knows how to cook. He's a very good cook. His mother trained him how to cook. Take my son. Take all my children. But give us back Nityananda. His is our life and soul. In this way, all the adults, the parents of the children of Ekachaka were running, searching everywhere. But they could not find him. And Nitai's friends, all they could do was cry. Nitai was their life, their soul, their everything. The sannyasi told Janava Devi and the devotees that for 3 months, Hadai Pandit and Padmavati, neither of them could eat a single morsel of food. All they did is cry while calling out the names of Nitai. And soon after, chanting Nitai's glories and names, they passed from the world. When Hadai Pandit and Padmavati was no longer, everyone in Ekachakra was in such grief and separation. They couldn't live there any longer because everything they would see would only ignite the fire of their separation. Without saying anything to anyone, everyone started leaving. And all the astrologers and scholars, they all came together. And they remembered the prophecy is that the Supreme Lord Balaram was going to take birth in Ekachakra. And he did, as Nityananda. And we didn't even know that that was him. And one great Brahmin said, the day Nitai was born, there were showers of flowers coming from the heavenly worlds pouring upon Ekachakra. It was a flower festival. This flower festival is very authorized. There was a flower festival, and we were all thinking, this child is very auspicious. He's Balaram himself. And we didn't recognize him. One by one, little by little, everyone was silently leaving Ekachakra. The Brahmin said, when everyone left, I stayed. As time went by, everything became ruins. But I cannot leave. My life is simply wandering about to each and every holy place that Nityananda Prabhu and his friends had their pastimes. I'm remembering Hadai Pandit and Padmavati. What was their feelings of love? After Nitai left, sometimes Hadai Pandit, he would call out, Nitai, Nitai, come and sit on my lap. I haven't seen you for so long. And he would actually feel that Nitai was on his, Nitai, you're on my lap, finally, after so long. Then he'd realize that he's not there. He would cry. And then another day, Nitai, come to the pond, let's take our bath together. Come, come, you've been playing so long, your body is covered with dust. Let us take our bath in Padmavati Kund. That's where you love to bathe. And he would realize he's not there. Nitai, I'm going out to check to see how our rice crops are blossoming. Come and walk in front of me. There's a debate among your friends. You love to debate. Come, Nitai, I'll help you. And then one day, Hadai Pandit said to Padmavati, Padmavati, look in the horizon at the road. Can you see? Can you see? It's that sannyasi. He's come to return, and Nitai is with him.
He's coming. He's coming. He's Nitai, finally, you've returned. Please, come. Your mother's cooked nice prasad for you. Come, come. Padmavati, he's coming.
And then when he would realize there was nothing there, he would collapse to the ground and cry. And that deity of Krishna, Muralidhar, that the sannyasi gave, whenever Padmavati was in the deepest states of her separation where she couldn't live, she would look at the face of the deity and directly see the face of Nitai. It was enough to keep her alive for some time. The Brahmin told Janavadevi, every day, all day, I just wander to the different places where Nitai performed his leelas so many long years ago, waiting for him to return. In fact, this banyan tree that you're sitting under right now, Nitai and his friends would take prasad right here. And they would play so many games of Krishna's leelas here. Life after life, I pray that I can be reborn in Ekachakra in the hope that Nitai will return. And in every life, let me end my life calling out the name Nitai Chandra. Then the Brahmin fell to the ground weeping in separation, and Janavadevi and all of her associates weeping and crying. They asked the Brahmin, can you give us a tour of Ekachakra? He brought to Hadai Pandit's house, the birthplace of Nityananda, the Garbhasan. And there, it was the first place he brought them on the tour. He was in so much separation. All he could do was cry, and without saying a single word, he left. Janavadevi didn't say anything to stop him. That night in Hadai Pandit's house, Janavadevi had a dream. She was thinking while she was sitting there, I never got to meet Padmavati. I never got to meet Hadai Pandit. My mother-in-law and father-in-law, who are so worshipable to me, who gave birth to my Nityananda, I never received their affection. She was thinking that while she was looking in the dark house in the middle of the night. And then she had a dream where the house became a beautiful home. And there was Hadai Pandit and Padmavati showering their affection upon her, fulfilling all of her desires. Then she woke up, and again she saw just the dark, lonely ruins. She fell asleep again, and in this vision, she was on the banks of the river of Ekachakra. There was a beautiful throne. Nityananda Prabhu was sitting on the throne, and Vasudha, the sister of Janava, and Janava were on either side, exchanging the sweetest love, loving reciprocation with Nitai. And when she woke up from that dream, she took everyone to make that deity of Radharani for Gopinath. They departed from Ekachakra. All her desires were fulfilled.
When Sri Nityananda Prabhu left with that sannyasi, there's a great description of the various holy places that they went. I'm sorry, it's almost 12 o'clock. Should I end here?
No. You're so polite. I'll never forget, I did that once. And all the adults, you know, due to some social stigma, they all said, no. And a little child said, yes! That was quite... saying yes, the mother had to take her out. I'll speak a little longer, then we'll continue tonight. They went to Gaya. They went to Badrinath. They went to Tirupati, Kanyakumari. They were traveling all over to holy places of India for years and years. And when they were in the western part of India, after years of travel, they came somewhere near Udupi. And there, Nityananda Prabhu met with Madhavendra Puri, who was on pilgrimage with some of his disciples. As soon as Nityananda Prabhu looked at Madhavendra Puri and Madhavendra Puri looked at Nityananda Prabhu, both of them fell to the ground unconscious in ecstatic love for each other and for Krishna. When they came back to consciousness, they embraced each other. Srila Vrindavan Das Thakur tells, as they embraced, they could not let go. They both bathed each other with the tears of their affection. Nityananda Prabhu said, I have been going to all holy places throughout India for so many years, and the fruit of my pilgrimage is that I have met Madhavendra Puri, the very personification of pure devotional service. Madhavendra Puri couldn't even speak. Ishwara Puri, Brahmananda Puri, and other leading disciples of Madhavendra Puri simply observed in great awe the love between Nityananda Prabhu and Madhavendra. They spent many days together discussing Krishna. Madhavendra Puri said about Nityananda Prabhu, you are devotional service personified. Whoever says your name, whoever remembers you, what to speak of anyone who meets you, and whoever worships you is sure to gain ecstatic love for Krishna. Wherever you are, all holy places are present. They discussed Krishna in great ecstasy together and eventually had to part. But during that time, Nityananda Prabhu accepted in his heart of hearts Madhavendra Puri as his own guru.
that same illustrious Vaishnav, who was the guru of Advaitacharya, was now accepted by Nityananda Prabhu as his spiritual master. Nityananda Prabhu traveled down to Setu Banda, Maravendrapuri, to the Sarayu River in Ayodhya. In Pandharapur, Nityananda Prabhu was staying at the house of a Brahmin. And there Lakshmipati Tirtha, who was a great acharya in the line of Sri Madhvacharya, he was a great devotee of Balaram. And Nityananda Prabhu, he came to serve him. That night, he had beautiful darshan of Balaram. And then he saw that Balaram became Nitai. This boy who I've just initiated, he's Balaram. He left. And his whole life, 24 hours a day, he was just remembering Nityananda Balaram. And in this way, he departed from the world. Going to so many holy places, Nityananda Prabhu, when he was in Hastinapur, he went to the house where the Pandavas lived, and remembering the love of the Pandavas, he was crying and weeping in separation from them. Eventually, he came to Mathura in Vrindavan. There, he just waited for Lord Chaitanya to give the indication that he had begun his Sankirtan pastimes. Nityananda Prabhu was in the mood of a cowherd boy. He would just play with the little Brijavasi boys, spend hours and hours splashing with them in the river Yamuna, singing songs about Krishna. Just waiting. When Lord Gauranga went to Gaya, took initiation from Sri Ishwarapuri, who was Nityananda Prabhu's godbrother and dear friend, he came back to Navadvip and established the Harinam Sankirtan movement. Nityananda Prabhu, he left Vrindavan to go to Navadvip. For he was just waiting for that moment. Interestingly, Sri Chaitanya Bhagavata tells us, although Nityananda Prabhu is Ananta Shesha, who's constantly chanting the glories of the Lord, he's the original spiritual master of all living beings, Sri Nityananda Prabhu never preached to anyone in his pilgrimage. Why? Because he was foremost the servant of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And until he got the order from Lord Chaitanya to preach, he would not preach. He was waiting. He came to Navadvip, to the house of Nandanacharya, and told Nandanacharya, "Do not tell anyone I'm here. I want to hide in your home." Nandanacharya was a very pure-hearted devotee. He joyfully welcomed Nityananda Prabhu. Meanwhile, at Srivasangam and in his own home, Lord Chaitanya was meeting his devotees regularly. He was having Harinam Sankirtan in his home, at Srivasa's home. Everything was so jubilant and full of auspiciousness.
Lord Chaitanya was thinking, when will Nityananda Prabhu come? And one day he mysteriously told all of his devotees, in 2 or 3 days, a great personality is coming to Navadvipa. Two days later, he told his friends, last night I had a wonderful dream. In this dream, I looked out the door of my home, and right outside the door, there was a chariot. The chariot looked like a chariot that transports a person from the material world to the spiritual world. On it there was a flag with the insignia of a palm tree. Standing on that chariot was a very large man. He was beautiful to behold. He had blue garments. He was holding a plow on his shoulder. In his left hand, he had a kamandalu, a begging pot, covered with little reeds of kusha grass. He had an earring, magnificent earring in his left ear. His eyes were rolling, intoxicated in the ecstasy of divine love. He was swaying side to side. His eyes, large like lotus flowers, they were reddened in ecstatic love. In a deep voice, he repeated 10 or 20 times, is this the house of Nimai Pandit? Is this the house of Nimai Pandit? I asked him, who are you? He replied, I am your brother and your friend, and tomorrow we will get to know each other. Then Lord Chaitanya went into a state of ecstasy. He said, this was Balaram. This was Lord Balaram himself. He has come, the original Shankarshan. He told Srivas Thakur and Haridas Thakur, please go to every house, to every bathing ghat, everywhere, and find him. Take me to him. They were jubilant. They saw the ecstasy of Lord Chaitanya in anticipation of meeting this great personality. They wandered everywhere. Finally, 9 hours later, they returned and they said to Lord Chaitanya, we went to the house of the Brahmins, the house of the devotees, we went to all the houses, we went to all the bathing ghats, we went to all the marketplaces and all the shops. We couldn't find anyone that you're describing. Lord Chaitanya, he smiled. You cannot just find Lord Nityananda. By the mercy of Krishna, one gets Guru. By the mercy of Guru, one gets Krishna. Lord Chaitanya stood up and said, come with me. And he went directly to the house of Nandanacharya. And they saw at the home of Sri Nandanacharya, sitting down was Lord Nityananda Prabhu. When the devotees saw him, they were struck with wonder. Lord Chaitanya and all the devotees bowed down to him. He was sitting. When he saw the beautiful form of Lord Gauranga, Nityananda Prabhu went into an ecstatic trance. From the moment he appeared in this world, he was longing to assist Lord Chaitanya in his mission. This was their first meeting. Scripture tells his eyes were drinking in the beauty of Lord Gauranga. His nose was longing to smell him. His arms were longing to embrace him. His tongue was longing to chant his holy name.
Krishna, 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 Krishna.
Nityananda Prabhu fell to the ground unconscious. Well, actually, what induced him to fall to the ground unconscious? He was just in a trance. He wasn't moving. He was just gazing upon Lord Chaitanya. And Srivas Thakur was asked by Lord Chaitanya to chant a verse from Srimad Bhagavatam. He chanted the verse of Krishna and Balaram coming in from the pastures back to the village of Vrindavan. Krishna was decorated with peacock feather. He was covered by the dust from the hoods of the calves. He had two wonderful flowers draped over each of his ears. He played his flute. He was wearing a garment that was yellow like lightning. And all of his friends were dancing together with him, chanting his glories. Upon hearing that, Nityananda Prabhu fell unconscious. Lord Chaitanya told Srivas, go on reciting, go on reciting. And when Nityananda Prabhu finally came back to consciousness, seeing Lord Chaitanya, hearing the beautiful glories of Krishna from Srimad Bhagavatam, he completely lost any control of his ecstatic love. He was jumping, dancing, rolling on the ground. Lord Chaitanya had to hold him still. Gadadhar Pandit, he laughed. He said, usually Lord Vishnu lays in the lap of Ananta. Now Ananta's laying in the lap of Vishnu. Lord Chaitanya invited Nityananda Prabhu, where would you like your Vyas Puja tomorrow? And Nityananda Prabhu pointed to Srivas at his house. So the next day, we were short of time, there was a wonderful ceremony, and it was at that place in Srivasangam that Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda induced all the devotees to perform Harinam Sankirtan. Together they danced. Nityananda Prabhu stayed at Srivas' house. Malini, Srivas' wife, she treated Nityananda Prabhu like her own child. And Nityananda Prabhu, in a mood like a playful child, accepted her motherly love. One day, a crow came into the house while Malini was doing puja. Srivas and Malini would do puja together. There was one special golden cup that would hold ghee for the worship of the deities. A crow picked up that golden cup and flew away. Left it at some distant tree where nobody knew, and then the crow came back. Malini was so sad. This was a sacred cup that myself and my husband had been using for years to worship the deity. Srivas is going to be very, very upset that we lost his cup. And Nityananda Prabhu came in and said, what's wrong, Malini? She said, this crow took the cup and came back without it. Nityananda Prabhu smiled and he talk to the crow. He said, bring back the cup. Immediately, the crow flew, and within a few minutes later, had the cup in his beak and set it down right in front of Malini and then flew away again. Malini could understand who Nityananda Prabhu was. She said, why should I be surprised that you got the crow to bring the cup back? You brought back the dead son of Sandipani Muni from the abode of Yamaraj. And she began to explain so many of the wonderful pastimes of Nityananda Prabhu. Just by your holy name, you could liberate all living beings. Why should I be surprised that you induced the crow to return the cup? One day, Lord Chaitanya asked Srivas, why do you keep Nityananda at your house? He does all wild things. Sometimes he jumps in the Ganges and plays with crocodiles. He seems like a madman. Don't you think you're going to lose your caste as a Brahmin by keeping a person like that in your house? You don't even know where he's coming from. And Srivas, he said, I understand Nityananda Prabhu to be non-different than your very self. He's your life, he's your soul, he is you, and you are he. He's descended to this world to give pure unalloyed love to everyone. I don't mind if I lose my caste, I don't mind if I lose everything, but I will never give up my worship of Lord Nityananda Prabhu, because I know that he is your heart. Lord Chaitanya, when he heard that, he said, I was testing you, and you passed the test. He said, because you love Nityananda Prabhu in this way, you are my life and soul. Lord Chaitanya, he told Srivas that anyone who worships Lord Nityananda is my life and soul. And I'll end with one simple little story. One day, Sachi Mata approached her Nimai and told him, I had a very strange dream last night. Nimai said, please tell me. She said, Nityananda and you were both little children playing in my house. You were both about 5 years old. And suddenly you ran on the altar. And Nityananda came off the altar with my deity of Krishna. And you came off the altar holding my deity of Balaram. And the deities were very angry at you. Balaram and Krishna saying, why are you taking us off the altar? This house is our house. All the sweets that Mata makes, they are our sweets. You will be punished for this. And Nityananda Prabhu, Nityananda, he said, your days as cowherd boys are gone. Gone are those days when little gopas, you steal butter and sweets from the houses of the gopas. Now we have come as Brahmins.
All of these sweets belong to my Lord Gauranga. She said, I was seeing you were fighting. You were grabbing the sweets from Krishna and Balaram's hands, and then Balaram and Krishna were grabbing the sweets from your hands, and then Balaram and Krishna were putting sweets in their mouth, and you were taking the sweets right out of their mouth. And Balaram screamed out at Nityananda and said, you are a thief. This is my Lord Krishna. Now with all of my powers, I am not going to be blamed for punishing you. And Nityananda said to Balaram, I have no fear of you. Because my Lord is Gauranga. And then they started fighting more over the sweets. And as they were fighting, Nityananda Prabhu cried out, Sachi Mata, feed me, feed me. And then my dream ended. Can you explain? Lord Chaitanya said, this is a very good dream. Please keep it secret. But now I understand. Because every day when I would offer bhoga to the deities of Krishna Balaram, I would sometimes come back and there would only be half the bhoga on the plate. I was thinking that my good wife Vishnu Priya was secretly stealing it. But now I know, now I understand that the deities are actually eating it. And Vishnu Priya was in the next room listening and she was smiling, filled with happiness. And Lord Chaitanya said, Sachi Mata, today let us invite Nityananda Prabhu for lunch. So she went to the kitchen, began to cook. Lord Gauranga went to Srivas Thakur's house and said, Nitai, please, Sachi Mata's calling you for lunch today. And as they're walking, Nimai said to Nitai, please, at least once today, act properly. Don't do your mischief. And Nitai said, me? I never do mischief. You're the one that always do mischief. You only see that I do mischief because you're always doing mischief. And then they both laughed. And they arrived at the house and Gadadhar Pandit and so many of the other intimate associates of Lord Chaitanya were there. And they sat down to eat prasad and Ishan, the assistant of Sachi Mata, was helping. And Sachi Mata came out with the food. She saw Nityananda Prabhu and Gauranga Mahaprabhu sitting there, eager for her devotion. She put the food on their plates. They started eating. Then she went to get some more preparations. And when she came back, she saw that Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda were little children, less than 5 years old. One had a dark complexion like a monsoon cloud, and the other had a white complexion like a spring cloud. One was dressed in blue, one was dressed in yellow, and both of them had four arms, holding conch shell, club, lotus flower, and Sudarshan Chakra. And one of them had a plow and a club. When she saw these four little children, they didn't even have any clothes on. She was holding the pot. She just fainted. She cried, wept tears of love, and then fainted. And the pot crashed onto the floor, and Ishan came to try to clean it up. Lord Chaitanya, he resumed his form as Lord Chaitanya again, and he jumped up and he picked up Sachi Mata and said, Sachi, mother, what happened to you?
She couldn't speak a word. She just went back into her private room and cried. Ishan cleaned up everything, and eventually the Lords finished their prasad. Sachi Mata came out and gave them sandalwood. And it was at that time that Lord Chaitanya said to Sachi Mata, "Please accept Nityananda Prabhu as your own son. Give him the same love that you give me. Accept him as my own brother." Sachi Mata said to Nityananda Prabhu, she said, "I have the same love for you that I have for my own Nimai. I am your mother." And Nityananda Prabhu, in great happiness, said, "I am your son." And from that day, Sachi Mata, she served both Nimai and Nitai with the same sweet, ecstatic love. In this way, Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda together established the Sankirtan movement in Navadvip. One day, Lord Chaitanya called Haridas Thakur and Nityananda Prabhu and gave them an extraordinary order. "Hear, Haridas, hear from me, Nitai. Go to every house and every bathing ghat, every shop, and whoever you meet, give them this instruction. Chant the names of Krishna. Worship Krishna. Remember and speak about Krishna. Krishna's your mother. Krishna's your father. Krishna's your true wealth. Krishna is your life and soul. Do not discriminate who is fit or who is unfit. Give this message to everyone. Induce all to chant the holy names." Discuss this wonderful pastime this evening. Thank you.